Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Scripture this morning, again in Matthew 15, we'll look at verses 21 through 28, and if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word this morning. When Jesus left there, he withdrew to the area of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came and kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon." Yet he did not say a word to her. So his disciples approached him and urged him, "Send her away because she cries out after us." He replied, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came, knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." He answered, It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to our dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus replied to her, "Woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want." And from that moment, her daughter was cured. Father, thank you, God, this morning again for this privilege we have to be here, Father, to worship you. Lord, thank you, Father, for these mothers today, the blessing of what they mean to us. God, this awesome ability they have to be a reflection of your glory long before anything and anyone else is able to. Father, encourage them today. Lord, encourage our young mothers, our ones that are struggling, the ones that are battling this morning. God, give them a new strength, a renewed commitment, and that ability to leave here today and be a greater, more clearer reflection of what your desire, your plans, and your purposes for their life is. Father, I thank you for Jesus who made it all possible, Lord. I thank you, Father, that today we are able to be objects of your mercy instead of objects of your wrath because of the sin debt that's been paid in full. May you be glorified, lifted up, and honored today. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that you alone might do what you do, and that's to speak to hearts. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I want to take this morning to just kind of highlight and just to kind of give a few things that just kind of a picture of what a godly mother is. There's these three areas that really jumped out as I looked at this, and as you see this woman who has such compassion for her daughter, I don't think there's a mother in here that has a child that has a physical affliction that if faced with something would not do anything humanly possible to help them, would you? I know many of you that would not only go above, but you would go above and beyond to get the healing, to get the deliverance, to get the help that your child needed. There's three things that, again, that jumped out this morning that moms, I know what you're thinking this morning. Here's one of them. One of God's ladies, one of God's moms is, number one, a nurturer. A good mother is a nurturer. Like I experienced growing up. Now, let me just help you not understand. I don't want to give you some cartoonish picture of my mother. When I acted up, my mother dealt with it. Don't get this underestimation that I was one of those little spoiled kids that went into Kmart back then, right? Montgomery Wards. Y'all kids don't even know what I'm talking about right now. But went into one of the stores and acted up, and my mother just went, "Oh, you know, kids are going to be kids." Oh, no. My mama did it right there in the middle of the store and did not care what anybody thought about it. No one ever said anything to my mother either, because I think they looked at her and went, "This woman ain't joking, and this woman probably whooped me if I say something to her." But she didn't play around. So my mother was an incredible nurturer, but she nurtured me enough to recognize, and she took it serious enough to understand that if she did not try to help correct these behaviors that tended to emanate from me all the time as a child, I was an ADD child on the poster in the encyclopedias, my picture. I was ADD before anybody knew what it was. I'm not joking. But my mother was a really good mother. She was a faithful mother. She was an incredible nurturer. One of the ways they define this says it's something that nourishes, sustenance, the act of bringing up, to nourish, to feed, to educate, to train, to help grow, to develop, to cultivate, to nurture a talent. That's what moms do. You're basically wearing all of these hats. You hear that said quite often. Moms wear all kinds of hats. You got the soccer mom. She puts on her taxi, right? Comes home. She's cooking dinner. She's doing the laundry. Can you imagine if a man has to do that? For crying out loud, ask my family what happens when I'm left in charge of a child for a week. She almost didn't eat, didn't get a bath for the entire week, wasn't it? Because I just didn't think about it. I'm thinking about all these other things, and it was just, honestly, it was just overwhelming. And somebody at church recognized that Wednesday night that she was hungry, and I didn't just neglect my child. But, you know, when I'm ministering to people and you're going and you're running and you're trying to figure out schedules, it just kind of, things fall through the cracks, like showers and baths, right? Oh, don't be self-righteous. The rest of you. But it happens. It does. And it's a hat. That's why I say I have the utmost respect for you moms. I really do. God created you with that ability to literally at one time have 4,000 things in your brain and still remember whatever it is that needs to be done. Again, my brain does not function like that, so I'm so thankful that God uniquely gave you this ability that he did not give me. So then verse 22 there, we'll see this with this woman. Just then the Canaanite woman from the region came and kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon." This mother's a nurturer. We see this. This mother's daughter's facing something that's really kind of incomprehensible. Can you imagine just for a moment thinking about what this woman's dealing with? So much so that she's willing to go up into this crowd to cry out and call out to this one that she sees as the source or possible source of deliverance. She would walk up and begin to follow them seeking this freedom, this healing, this deliverance. But she was at first kind of brushed off. Now remember, she is a Canaanite. So in a sense, she's a heathen. Remember, Jesus came for the Jewish people. So we have a Canaanite. We don't have someone. We see someone, in a sense, who's an outsider. It's almost like Rahab. And this is not the person, you know, in the picture of what Jesus came. But yet, this interesting thing emerges here because she recognizes that, yes, I'm not part of the chosen people. I know this, but I know that this son of this carpenter, he is my healing. This is my only chance. This is my daughter. What do I have to lose? We see this first, in a sense, response is to be rejected. How many moms would, you know, well, I can tell they don't want anything to do with me. So I'm just going to go home and hope that something changes. So I'll tell you one thing, a loving, nurturing mother, she's not going to take no for an answer. Why? Because she knows that she's the only hope for the children. Because I want you to know right now, if you're not the spiritual mom nurturer of your child and you take them to the public school system here and you expect them to do it, you're in trouble. You know that the church can't do that. We can help, encourage, right? But at the same time, if what is happening here is not being continually reinforced, this is a huddle on Sundays. We're coming together for a week-long huddle, right? This is the culmination of our week-long worship. So the time we've had and the devotions at home and the talking about the Lord and the things we've done at home, if this is not the culmination of it and this is the only source for that for your children, we're in trouble. Somewhere throughout history, there was this belief that the church was the central spiritual input of the children and the family, and we just go home and we do our business, we come back and we're getting it taught and grown, and it's not supposed to be like that. See, we're supposed to be, as you hear me continually say in God's Word, all of us. Parents, you should read it with your children. We do Proverbs at night, and we do a devotion in the morning. You need that every day. You need that continual input because You can't do in an hour on Sunday morning. Somebody say, I'm long-winded. I'm longer than that, Brother Jonathan. Oh, you can, on Sunday morning, come on, you should. No, I can't do in an hour on Sunday morning. Do the hours in a day. And you think that an hour on Sunday morning, let's just say you come Wednesday night, hour on Wednesday night, and you say Sunday night too. Do you really believe 3 hours in a week is going to be all it takes to spiritually root your children to stand against the world where they are trained to disassemble everything that we are and represent as followers of Christ? See, it's serious. You don't think these professors in these secular colleges, and even now in some of the Christian colleges, heard somebody share with me recently, their sister went to supposed to be a Christian college. They have all but abandoned the faith, being in a medical program in a Christian college, because they said the teacher, they basically explained her out of Christianity. You think that's not real? It's real. Within 3 or 4 hours of right here. Do you think that the systematic, foundational, theological training of our children is not imperative? If any time in history right now, like never before, it is. And that's why I think, moms, it's so important for your children to see you as Christ. To see the grace and to see the mercy and to see that discipline that shows such intense love. Once again, when I was a police officer, you often think, you know, you hear people talk about, oh, when you spank your children, it just ruins them. Oh, it's terrible. I'm not talking about abuse. Yes, abuse is abuse, and that is a totally different thing than disciplining your child. Amen? Okay, let's get that clear. You beat your child from one end of the house, and they're black and blue. No, we got problems. I'll come in and talk to you, and I'll come in and make you look like that. Then we'll look like a unicorn show. We don't do that. That's not the right thing to do. Discipline is a different thing, though. What it is doing is to bring about a change in behavior, that course correction that behavior can cause great hurt and pain in the life of a child. When your child runs out the street, do you want to put them in time out and say, well, you don't need to run by the street? No, I'll be honest with you. I'll bust that bottom. Why? Because I do not want to go out to the street one day and pick up my little one. I'm sorry, I don't. I would much rather their bottom hurt a few times and them go, no, daddy, give me pow-pow if he put out my road. Other than to go, well, I tried what the psychologist said, that it would harm them. The car does a whole lot more than your hand does on their bottom. And that's what people don't realize, even when that transcends over to the spiritual side as adults. Spiritual death is a death that cannot be returned from. And I think Gillette Penn, the atheist that I played that clip here a number of years ago, I've referenced it quite often, is one of the most profound things that you can hear in reference to how dangerous eternity separated from God is, because this atheist says this: if there's a real heaven and if there's a real hell, it's like a bus coming down the road at 90 miles an hour. If someone standing out on the road doesn't see it, you're going to yell at them, but there comes a point where you eventually tackle them. Why? Because you don't want them to get hit. I would hope you would. I know I would. I'm proactive. And he says, if this hell is real, remember, this guy doesn't even believe in God or hell or heaven. He says this. But if it's real, how much could you hate someone not to tell them? Ouch. Amen? Oh, because it's socially awkward? He said, get out of my face. He said, an atheist that doesn't proselytize, get out of my face. This is an atheist saying this. And all that stemmed from a man who'd been in a show. He had won little, they have little prizes. They give away the things he uses that night, the props in his show. I've never watched it, but I'm just saying it in reference to what he had shared. He'd written his phone number in there, gave him a little Gideon Bible, and he wrote his phone number. He had like 5 or 6 phone numbers in there and just said, hey, if you ever want to talk, let me know. And his first statement was, you know, this guy was sane. He wasn't like some, you know, the I love God person that's just cussing and hollering at you or whatever it might be. So this guy was just sane. That's what the world needs, is people who are in love with Christ. Gillette Penn could have told him where to go pound dirt. But it didn't matter to this guy. You know why? Because Gillette Penn mattered more to him than the social awkward feeling of doing what he did. We need men and women that love their kids enough to stand up in the trenches of the home. Well, Brothers and Jonathan, what are you talking about? You don't think that your home is a battleground this morning? We have an enemy that does not want our mothers to unconditionally love those kids and to teach them, to show them that clear picture of Jesus from the time that they give birth to them. They want us as dads getting them in such a state that they ain't got no, they can't even think what planet they're on. Guys, you need to recognize how tough mom's job is. And that's the ones that don't have to go out and work on top of that. The ones that have to work on top of that, imagine the weight on them. As I've had some of you share with me, when you're at work, you feel guilty, and when you're at home, you feel guilty. I've had so many people share with me how difficult juggling this environment today that we're in. It's tough. Guys, you need to be thankful for mom today. You need to encourage mom. Men, you need to pray with your wife. You need to get the Bible out and read. What do I read? Read Proverbs. There's 31 of them. There's 31 days in most months. Read a proverb a day. That's what we do. Wisdom literature. What greater thing in the world to do? See, this mother right here, she recognized how important it was. She was going to stop at nothing to get the deliverance for her little girl. The disciples, they see the aggravation right here. So what do they say? Hey, verse 23, yet he did not say a word to her. So his disciples approached him and urged him, hey, send her away because she cries out after us. Isn't that ironic? You have Jesus' disciples. They didn't get they missed the boat. What was Jesus there for? People who were hurting and struggling and broken. You're going to send your mission field away? See, they wanted to get lost. This mom's like, no way. Here we are, verse 25 and 7. But she came, knelt before him, said, Lord, help me. He answered, It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, even their dogs eat crumbs and fall from the master's table. See, the mother realized that in terms of that day, they called each other, it was a dog. Anybody who was not part of God's chosen people, they were unclean. But she had so much faith in who Jesus was that she was willing, hey, I'll get the crumbs off the table. I don't need to eat at the table. Let me just have the crumbs. A beautiful picture that emerges here. She has faith, by the way, big time. See, she knew that this salvation, this Savior that was to come to the Jews, she wasn't worthy of him, but what do I have to lose? The second thing I want to share with you is this. A good nurturer knows the importance of truth. A good nurturer knows the importance of truth. This mom didn't question truth when confronted with it. She goes walking into it. She embraces it. She had nothing else. No other hope. What hope do you have today apart from Christ? We watch the Jewish people and the whole picture of Scripture reject him. We watch God open the door to us, the Gentiles, today. But what are you doing with them? Is Jesus merely this figure that you have this fond, overwhelming feeling inside when you think about it, but that's merely the emotional response that you have? But my question is, what are you doing with Jesus today, honestly? What are you doing with Jesus? What is Jesus to you today? Is he a thought? Or is he your Lord, your Savior, your King? What is he? I've known some women have married some bad hombres, some bad dudes. I've worked with a number of women that have suffered tremendously under some bad, bad dudes. You might be in a situation where it's less than optimal, mom. You might be trying to raise your children to love and serve Jesus, but you have no support. You may not have a guy that's physically beaten on you or emotionally beaten on you, but he's just, he ain't worth 15 cents. I want to tell you something. This is what I want to encourage you in this morning. God has got to be your all sufficiency. Your children need you. You and I can't change anybody. No one. The only person we can change is us by allowing the Spirit of God to transform us. That's the only thing that we have the control over today. Mom, you have the ability to be Jesus to your children, even if you've got a man at home. Maybe you know a friend right now that's not worth 10 cents. She's married to somebody who is, again, not worth 10 cents. You know what they need this morning? They need encouraged. What they need encouraged is that the one that brings healing is right there waiting for her to strengthen her, to give her fulfillment, to give her hope, to give her meaning, to give her purpose. There's one promise. There's not one person in here, including myself, that will not ever let you down. But he never will. Amen. This morning, when you have the recollection, the realization, like I came to in 2009, when every bit of my life stopped in one failed moment, done. Everything that I knew, believed, recognized at 29 years old, my livelihood, my everything, my physical health, departed like one of those high-pressure storms. Whew. See, what God had to do was bring me to the place where all I had was him. My wife had to go to work, had to take the kids every morning to work, go to work. Well, I had to stay there. And God's like, nope, I've got you right where I need you now. And he did over that process of 4 years. What he was doing was, is refining me just the same way that some people end up in rehabs for 3 or 4 years or some program that to help transform them, and God calls them, and going to prison some happens to people sometimes. There's ways that God, boy, God's just good, amen? Hey, God, go, oh, you don't think I can get you? I'll get you straightened out. Just yield yourself to me and find, oh, don't want to yield yourself and I'm going to use you? That's okay, I'll get you. It doesn't matter. It's profound. God's toolkit is ripe with options to get us from where we're at to where he needs us to be. Again, I said out of my mouth, I'll never be a pastor. Grew up in a pastor's home. Could not stand Christians until I came to faith in Christ and God began to change my heart. I disdained everything that you and I have seen growing up with the legalism and the self-righteousness and the, it winds me up thinking about it. But see, I didn't know what a relationship with Jesus Christ was. My parents gave me a pure reflection of Christ, but what happens is they put me in little schools that showed me that salvation was by works. And that had a detrimental effect on me, the same way that on Sundays when I would get out of Sunday school and walk up, as I've told you, to the little window and look down. I remember now I'm about 6 or 7 years old, looking down there and looking at all the elders and deacons smoking cigarettes out there. Well, that's what I wanted to do, right? Because I want to be like those guys. So I started doing that. Well, what happened? I don't know why that people didn't see it so fondly. This was back before they got this real push that they were bad. See, I just want to, so what ultimately happens to me? I get kicked out of school for doing this multiple times. Well, what's the problem? There's this disconnect. I don't understand. Why are the people that I look up to doing this and I want to be like them, but I get kicked out of school and I'm the bad guy, I'm a bad man because I do this, I'm a bad kid? That's why we got to be really careful. Because deacons, Sunday school teachers, man, woman in this church, what are you letting the kids see that maybe does what it did to me? For lots of years, I can't live up to that standard. Mom, help your kids not ever look to people as the source of their righteousness. Help them understand that people are going to fail them, but there's one that won't, and that's Jesus. Every man, woman, and child will ultimately fail us at one point or another in our life. But Jesus never will. He's never failed me. And when I actually came from the knowledge of Christ to a relational transformation on September 20th of 2004. See, that was what was so profound, because what happened is in the genuine ability for the Spirit of God to begin to mold me and to allow me to see what walking with Christ was, and allowed my heart to be turned from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt it wasn't me, because I was so steeped with anger and frustration at what Christianity was. And God started to break my heart for what broke His. He allowed me to understand that I was a wretched reprobate of a sinner, but we have a Savior that the reach of His redemptive hand exceeded the depth of my sin. Mom, I can imagine some of you probably at times feel like the biggest failure that anybody could ever feel like. And I want to speak to that just a second, because we have an enemy that's a liar. He desires to define us by our failures. You've often heard me say, the one who defines and frames the narrative wins the argument. See, whenever you feel as though you've not been what you should, he wants to define you that day by the flop that you may have fallen face first, if even in your thought life that day. Maybe you were not as kind to the children as you should have been or could have been. Maybe you blurted out and said something to your husband or someone, and then all of a sudden, the rest of the day, it just seems like it was an out-of-control train going downhill. Jesus loves you. He saved you. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You are precious. You are valuable. And right now, there's nothing you can do to make Him love you any less. Then He loves you on the day that you've been everything that your children needed. You said everything you should have said. You did devotions with them. You batted 1,000 in a sense that day. He loves you no more on that day than He did the day that you felt like you were not worth anything. God is good. He's faithful. Mom, you are a part of His plan. For those of you here that feel like, you know what, my kids are grown now and I failed. No, you haven't. Because if today you're sitting there saying, you know what, I wish I could go back, but I can't do anything to change it, I want you to know something. There's a most powerful weapon that can ever be utilized. And I'm going to tell you where it starts: on your knees in prayer. Remember, Mom, you can't change your kid's heart. You got a prodigal right now that you maybe feel responsible for? Well, how about you go to battle? And where does that start? It starts in prayer. Does that mean you're going to come up and get out an altar and start praying, or have them pray over you and we're going to pray one time? No. I want to tell you what it's like. It's like going to war. It's going to battle every single day. It's getting up week in and week out with your brothers and sisters in Christ, pleading with the Lord, bombarding His throne on behalf of that prodigal child or your children that you failed in spiritually nurturing and training to love, serve, and honor Christ. And you know what God will do? God will see your humble pleas. This is what you're doing, by the way. How do we know God answers a prayer? When it's in accordance with His will, His purpose, and His plan. The Bible says His will is that none should perish. So when you start praying that God would save that reprobate child that you feel responsible for being where they're at, you think that God won't answer that? I know He will. Now, is there a guarantee that it'll be answered while you're still breathing? No. I shared that story about Charles Stanley was getting ready to baptize a woman. She's back, or Chuck Swindoll. She was weeping. I'm talking about weeping. 30-some-odd-year-old woman. There's a line of people getting ready to get baptized. He walks up to her and says, "What's wrong?" And he said, "This is an incredible day." I mean, he's just blown. He doesn't know what to say. And she says, "My mother prayed for me her entire life for this day." And he said, "She died 2 years ago." Did God fail to answer Mom's prayers? No. He did what He promises. He answers. And he answered. She's gone on in glory, but it didn't change the fact that God answered her prayer. But see, what do we always talk about? God transcends time, and he answers prayer in his time. He works all things together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. So mom didn't fail. Well, mom will never know. Oh, yes, she will. I promise she will. I can't fully explain it all, but I'm going to tell you what. There's a whole lot of really cool things, I think, beyond comprehension. As a matter of fact, we watch Paul have to be placed with a thorn to keep him from boasting. Therefore, what we're headed to is going to be incredible. Amen? And this morning, mom, that good nurturer knows the importance of truth. What is truth? Sometimes to admit, I'm not doing well. You don't have to hold, don't forget this. Don't let pride make you walk up into a crowd when you're dying inside and go, oh, everything's great, sunshine. And inside, you're a category 5. Because, oh, if someone knew that I didn't have it together, oh, Lord, it'd be terrible. Oh, boy, that's right there. P-R-I-D-E, pride. Pride will keep you in such bondage that you never know what the light of Christ and the freedom that is found in brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that you don't have it together. I'm the first one to tell you, I share this with you for a reason. I am just like you that's been called by God to be in this position, and I recognize I am under you. It's only by God's grace that I don't become a tragic train wreck with which become a cautionary tale to all of you to go, oh yeah, our pastor loved the Lord, but oh my goodness, it was bad. Only by God's restraining grace, my yielding to his plans, his purposes, and fleeing will that ever happen. Only by that, never because, oh, I'm so strong that, oh, no. Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. To God be the glory, though, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin. Phew. That what? Open the floodgate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth. Y'all ever heard this song? Okay, good gracious, I was getting ready to get nervous. I was getting ready to get my Presbyterian roots out. They sang that in the church I grew up in, very conservative church. So praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. So come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him great glory, great things he has done. Mom, our God is mighty. He's glorious. Our God is faithful. He's faithful to do what Ephesians 3:20 says, do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What this morning seems to be the insurmountable object in your life, is it reaching the children that you failed, that you feel you failed in raising? Maybe right now you think that you're incapable of being for your kids what you know they need, and you're scared to death to let anybody know it. I want to tell you something. If you'll humble yourself, and you'll cry out to the Lord, and you'll get you some sisters in Christ to rally around you, and we start praying for you, I want to tell you what God will do. Man, God will answer that prayer in humility. Do you realize I was never a pastor? I was not a public speaker. I could have a great time talking in a small group. I am not a pastor still. God equipped me. He equips the called. He does not call the equipped. He equips the called. God called me to this. The last thing I said I would ever do, because God does what he wants to do when he's in control. He's on the throne, and it's about him, his plans, his purposes for his glory. The question becomes, what are we going to do when he allows us to finally realize that these things that maybe I said as a child, I'd never be a pastor, I could have held on to my stubborn arrogance and my, well, I said that, I'm going to stick with it because I'm bullheaded when it comes to something like that. My son's worse than I am, by the way. If he ever says no, don't try to push him to do something. I promise you, it's like the most stubborn animal you've ever had in your life. The more you pull, the more he'll lock in. best thing you can do is back off, and sometimes he'll change his mind if you let him alone. But that's the way I was. When I knew God was calling me to the ministry, it was the last thing in the world I said, God, you can do anything, just don't, don't ever put limitations, by the way, on what you'll do. Because if you're the Lord's, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Meaning, God, you can do what you want with me for your will, your glory, your plans. Father, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Is that your heart song this morning? Moms, are you needing victory today? Are you needing courage today? I want you to know this mom right here was needing it too. This woman's faith, she recognized what she didn't deserve, which is a great parallel picture of us. There's not one of us in here that deserves anything. I hope you recognize that, because that is vital as a follower of Christ to recognize we don't deserve anything. But God in his grace, what his unmerited favor and his mercy gives us, first we see in the picture of Jesus what we do not deserve. Even today, we still don't deserve anything. Even as a believer, he's given us Jesus. He's given us the eternity in his presence. What more could we ask for? But what does he do? Day after day is so faithful, so merciful, so gracious to us. His protection, his provision. Whew. We could go on and on for days. God is so good. Mom, verse 28 there, ready? This is what happens. Jesus replies to her, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was cured. Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. A good nurturer models consistency and faith. This mother was persistent in her faith. She was consistent in seeking out deliverance for her daughter. And I want to tell you this morning, this is important. We are in a 10-second snippet world right now. Listen what I'm telling you, because this hits all of us. It's really hard to be consistent spiritually now. I'm telling you, I talk to people every single day, and I hear the heartbeat of everyday normal Joes, Marys, Terrys, and any other name you can put in there. It is very difficult these days to be consistent. Please let this be a warning. Let this be a challenge. Whatever you want to take it as, take it for what it is. I know God didn't lay this on my heart for no reason. If you model inconsistency, apathy, and indifference, your children will live it in broad daylight in front of you. If you model to them that serving the Lord and honoring the Lord and seeking the Lord is something you do when you have time, they'll do the same thing. The problem is you'll get serious about Jesus one day. And when you get serious about Jesus, you're going to have to sit there like King David did and watch what he had to watch with his children. When Nathan the prophet said, what you did in secret, your children will do in broad daylight. If there's anybody that wants to speak to the say, well, I don't think it was that bad for him. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but it's not the one that I'm reading. My heart's sad for David. Yes, it was the consequences, and it was catastrophic for his whole entire family. Catastrophic. Parents, what do you want to watch one day as your life winds down? Do you want to watch your children passionately in love with Jesus, seeking God's face, in love with the Lord, so bananas for Jesus that it's like me with my parents? I love them. They're going to come visit next week. But when my parents are at home, sometimes my mama has to call me because I kind of get so busy with my family that I don't think about, I don't do it purposely. I love her to death. I love my dad to death. But Jesus, what did he say? Your mothers, your brothers are here. What do you mean? Here's my mothers and my brothers. Y'all are my family. You're just as much my family as my parents are. You can look at that familial DNA bond and see that as superior to what the Lord has given you in this and has called us to recognize. It's the same. As a matter of fact, you're more united in the bond and the DNA through Jesus Christ's blood than your family ever dreamed of being. But I'm really thankful for that. You know why? My mom still battled cancer. My dad's got the heart stuff. My dad, I'm watching them. They're winding down. They're joyfully winding down. My parents are so ready to go be with Jesus, not even funny. You know what? I'm so glad that my life is not wrapped up in them. Because when they go, yes, I won't be. I'll be sad. I won't be happy. And, oh, okay, well, it's another step. No, it'll be tough. But you know what I recognize? I've got my family. I got my family. And see, I can focus on my family. And I can focus on what is most important, which is taking another step that day, day by day, until the day that I go home to be with the Lord. And I can, before then, train you to recognize also that everything in this world, as God's word says, is passing away. Everything. The only thing that doesn't is God's word. All of God's word will be fulfilled. It's the promise of God's word. That everything's going to be fulfilled how it says. Mom, recognize that the things of this world are fleeting. I want to challenge you. You have a child that says, you know what? I want to go on a traveling ball team that leaves every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday every week. And we're going to go travel the world. Because why? Oh, I'm going to be a... And when they get to be a major league baseball player, then we'll finally be able to get... So we can go... We can do all... Please don't fall in that trap. Please don't fall in that trap. Nothing wrong with playing ball. You just make sure it comes second to your molding them to be a follower of Jesus Christ that's passionate about not the things of this world. They can be in this world, but make sure that you do not create worldlings, people who are models, idols of this world. Because mom and dad, we are forming theologically our children's future. We are modeling what's important. It's really easy, super easy, to buy into that. But what happens when you realize the foolishness of it? When what? They get a scholarship to college, just like a young man that I knew, parents taught him that, and that was all they taught him. First semester profession, one of the best pitch, would have been one of the best pitchers of all time. Ruined it. Guess what? He had nothing to fall back on. What happened? What do you think? Addiction followed. He is why we live, move, and have our being. Mom, God loves you. God created you. God has a purpose and a plan for you. This morning, Mom, you have one of two things, those hard choices to be consistent, to discipline, and yep, it'll deprive your child of the carnal desires of the world, right? Like a mother told me one time, you need to let up on him and let him try some things while he's still safely under your roof. Promise you said that. I said, no, ma'am, I'm going to raise my child to love and serve Jesus Christ to the greatest of my ability. Ma'am, I respect you, but I'll raise my child and you raise yours. She buried her child less than 2 years later. Yes. Person that lived within 30 miles of here up in the northern part of Rutherford County. You want to let your child run in this world and do the things of the world? You don't want to dig a grave for your child. Brothers and sisters, stand firm. You want to be your child's friend? They've got enough friends. They don't need you as a friend, mom or dad. They need someone who's going to stand firm and be a parent. My parents are still my parents, and they're 75 years old. I still have a grand respect for my mom and dad. I don't call him Tom. I don't call him Hey, Huh. I've called my father Pop. I still call him Pop. Like when you call him Pop as a child, I'm still calling my dad Pop. I didn't change it. I still have the affectionate child name that I called my father when I was a little boy. I have great respect for I still call my mom, Mom. I don't call her Judy. No, she's my mom. I have respect for my parents. Parents, teach your children respect. Teach them respect for the Lord. Teach them respect for everything that God's word says to do that. Create a beautiful plan and a path, Mom, so that your children will have the greatest opportunity to come to know and love Jesus Christ and to have a really, really good life. And then in turn, be a vital, intricate part of God's puzzle, right? Your puzzle piece, your child's one of these too. Don't throw your child's puzzle piece away for them by not teaching them to love, to serve, to honor, and to glorify Christ. Because again, the pain one day of having to watch that unfold. Mom, you have this awesome ability this morning. You, the little ones, I see all these little ones out here. Praise God, glory, hallelujah, amen. Look at all the kids in here. We're so blessed. This is not even the ones in the nursery. That means that there's a whole lot of moms in here today that can go, you know what? I'm like in that war room. If you've seen the movie War Room, go to war. Go to war for your kids. Fight the spiritual battle on the battlefield of the home. Don't think the enemy's going to try to get you off track at home. Yes, he will. You stand firm. You march around your house if you have to. Lift your Bible up in the air and you shout if you've got to. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You go and pray through your house every day if you need to during nap time. Go outside, go around your house. Oh man, Brother John, if my neighbor saw me with a Bible up there, they'd call the police. Let them call. Then you can share Christ with the officer. There's great ways to minister. You just got to be willing to do it. Don't be scared. Don't be intimidated into not doing what you or I are supposed to out of a fear of what someone may do. I would fear an enemy that can cast them into hell if I fail in doing my part in raising my child to love and serve Jesus Christ. I know ultimately it falls on them. They've got to answer God's loving call to salvation. But moms, you're on the front lines this morning. And I want you to know, I love you. I thank God for you. I pray for you. And I mean that. Mom, that's a new mom or a young mom, older moms, even if you did the wrong thing and you feel like you failed, please hook up with our younger moms. I can promise you this morning I hit home to a number of them that feel like a failure today. Even if you did the wrong thing, sit down. We had somebody share a men's breakfast yesterday that they hadn't done what they could have done and should have done, and they struggle with that, and they were challenging these younger men. You do the right thing because I am struggling with the issues that arose from not doing what I should have. What an encouragement that even in the pain of what they realized, they were able to challenge the younger men to do what they should do so they don't have to live with that regret that this person's living with. Ladies, you the same way. If you've maybe not done, or maybe you have loved Jesus passionately, walk alongside of our young ladies. They need you. We need each other. Amen? But you've got to realize you have something to offer. The only person that doesn't have anything to offer is someone who believes they don't or they can't do anything for the Lord. Mom, you go out there in the power of the risen Lord, the Savior, King Jesus. He'll give you everything that you need to do what it is that he has called, he's created you, and he desires for you to do this morning. All you've got to do this morning is say, Lord, I recognize I need to do a real course correction today. That doesn't mean you failed. Nope. That means, praise God, you're still breathing and you still have an ability, even if it's in prayer, to go to battle to reclaim what the enemy wants to put in the books as a final say. Nope. You get on your knees and you pray until you die, or that child calls you up and say, hey, I don't know what's happened, but God has gotten a hold of me. And you'll dance it. You talk about running around your house, you'll run around it then. You will be filled with such excitement and such wonder at God's mercy, his grace, and his great faithfulness. Draw that line in the sand today, and whatever it is that needs dealt with, take care of it so you can leave here in that victory of knowing, hey, I'm where God wants me to do. Ladies, I challenge you today. Rejoice in the God of your salvation. We love you as a church body. You are valued. You're valuable. God has an awesome purpose and a plan for you today, and we love you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin
broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.